local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Whenever you talk, I mean, I don't even think it's really politics, but whenever you talk cities and legislation and things like that, the 831 is saying, sorry, you guys, my intentions were not to get things into heated debates. Hey, that's just what it is. And, you know, wherever anybody's opinions are, we can have those debates and talk about the Kings right after, especially when they're playing the best team in the NBA by a long shot. I mean, it's not even close. And we are joined by one of the best to have that conversation with Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire and host of the Celtics Lab podcast. Cameron, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I got to say, the So Fresh and So Clean is a great intro. Nothing gets me more ready to talk hoops. I feel relaxed and cool at the same time.
Beautiful. There you go. There you go. Well, we're just going to keep it rolling with, I think, the easiest question you're going to get during this interview. It's championship or bust for the Celtics, right?
Yeah, I spent a lot of the season saying, you know, maybe not, but just the data is so overwhelming. I mean, the historical comps get louder and louder. And then day to day, I mean, when you watch the team, it's when they're losing or they lose, either the other team has hit a bunch of threes, or the term you hear a lot from Celtics media is they're playing with their food. It's a little reductive, but I think it's true. So, for example, tonight, with respect to the Kings, unless they hit a lot of threes or the Celtics look asleep at the wheel, Boston's the better team, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Head and shoulders, especially with, I mean, the Kings, it just feels like every opportunity they have to have a big win, they let it slip, including last night against the Knicks. Cameron, I'm curious too, just, I mean, with the Celtics situation, I guess first I'll ask, is being, I think they're 11 games up right now of the, they're 13 games up of the number two seed. Is that kind of a blessing and a curse at this point in the season? Because obviously it's great to know what you're going to be, the number one seed going into the playoffs, but it feels like with having that amount of cushion, like we've heard, you know, Joe Mazzulla say a couple weeks ago, oh, we were switching Porzingis onto DeJounte Murray just to see if that happens in the playoffs. We don't want that to be the first time. Is it kind of a blessing and a curse because with 13 games left, you kind of don't hit the ground running into the playoffs, if that makes sense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're Mazzulla, it's definitely a blessing. He said going into All-Star break, he was looking forward to tinkering in the back half of the season, and it's clear he's done that. I mean, the times that they have lost, they've been doing wonky things, and I think it's Mazzulla is probing for data. I mean, the really meta answer is Boston might be rewarded with a first-round series against the Heat or the Sixers, it could end up being like more of a challenge than most seeds, first seeds face. But the number one thing that you need, and not just if you're the Boston Celtics, but any team, is health, right? And Boston hasn't taken their foot off the gas insofar as we haven't really seen like wholesale resting of starters. But, you know, guys are playing 30 minutes, not 35 minutes. You know, there's a certain level of ease that comes with being the one seed, and dramatically so. And I'd be curious with, you know, six games left. I think, for example, Jaylen Brown, his hand is genuinely a little injured. Derek White is out with a back contusion. That could be a little less legit, you know what I mean? So they'll enjoy a little bit of rest. They're enjoying tinkering, or certainly Mazzulla is. But you never know. I mean, momentum is a beautiful thing too. So it looks like, knock on wood, they're going in healthy, but maybe they'll get their – it'll take them a little bit to get their sea legs when the playoffs begin. Mm.
Talking to Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire and host of the Celtics Lab podcast. Cameron, you know, we talk a lot about De'Aaron Fox, obviously, here in Sacramento, and how his personality is a little low-key. You don't see him on a lot of podcasts, and how can that affect his brand, and especially somewhere in Sacramento. You don't have that issue as far as the market being in Boston, but Jason Tatum is a name that doesn't get thrown around as much as you think for face of the NBA. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's funny. The partners of the league certainly see him as a face, right? He does Ruffles, he does 2K, he does Gatorade. Like I teach high school during the day, actually, and my students are all aware of Jason Tatum, right? They love Jason Tatum because he's so visible. But he is a relaxed guy. He is very happy, it seems, living in the suburbs of Boston, playing golf and living with his son. I think he just kind of operates and a lower gear than maybe some of the other guys. I think he enjoys superstardom. And you know what? It doesn't always come across on television, but he's very funny. So I think kind of like Fox, he just has a, I don't know, this sounds like a dismissive. I don't mean it to sound dismissive. He's a smaller personality in that way. Whereas other guys, you know, they're stars and they like the attention, or they just like the spotlight. So I think he's a star insofar as he does every commercial, and some he doesn't even need to. So he's hard to lose, right? But is he magnetic in the same way? Yeah. No, but I don't think he would say he's trying to be.
Cameron, I'm curious. We actually just had a caller earlier kind of spark this question. They were essentially saying the Kings, with the exception of Domantas Sabonis, who just battles every single night, gets hit in the face, the team besides him is kind of soft. And I think that's something that has been said about the Celtics in recent years. And, you know, I think it's why they struggle with teams like, you know, like Miami. And, you know, I think New York could definitely give them some problems. But at the same time, Boston is the best team in the NBA, head and shoulders above everybody else. How much do you think, like, an aggressive play style factors into to playoff success?
It depends on the personnel. This is such a Brad Stevens team. It is, you know, on an interpersonal level, they're very interesting people. Jaylen Brown cares to do great good in the world. But fundamentally, they're kind of boring, and I think it's perfect for a Brad Stevens team, right? I think of those Spurs teams like a decade ago, that it was kind of the same thing. It was just like a beautiful machine in action. And so it was okay that they didn't have that much gravel in their gut or spit in their eye, you know? Whereas there are teams in the East anyways that can take advantage of you, or they're a little more rough and tumble. And yeah, Boston doesn't always have an answer for that. I'm so deeply curious about the rebounding battle tonight, because, you know, Sacramento's so good on the defensive glass. Boston's pretty good on the offensive glass. And Sabonis and Porzingis against smaller, inferior rebounders are unbelievable. But Porzingis, to your point, when we've seen him go up against, like, truly the biggest or the strongest guys in the league, it hasn't worked out super well. So, yeah, quite literally, you have a puncher's chance against the Celtics. But they're so polished and they're so deep that, like, I would hazard some teams could overextend and then everything else becomes out of whack and the Celtics pounce, you know?
Talking to Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire and host of the Celtics Lab podcast. Cameron, who's the biggest threat to Boston besides Denver?
I keep wanting to say the Bucks, but the proof in that pudding is a little clear, I think, at this point. I'm not a really big believer in Damian Lillard in terms of his defense. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know what's going on. It's just one of those teams that, looking back, sometimes when the stink is that stinky, you kind of have to believe it. So maybe something's up with the Bucks. And I wanted to say the Clippers. You guys would know better than I, but when healthy, I thought this Clippers team was a real force to be reckoned with. And I think back to Kawhi, whatever it was, a season ago, when it was just him, and he just demolished those Suns. I mean, he just picked their pockets. So I thought the Clippers were on their way to being an answer. I thought the Knicks were on their way to being an answer too, but they're just so beat up. So it's cliche, but I'm going to go for it. The team to beat the Celtics this year is themselves.
I kind of think that that's the right answer. Yeah. I mean, it feels like they are the only team that can really get in their way. And I mean, yeah, I'm curious, Cameron, just, I know you probably don't get to watch a lot of the West Coast games being out there, but what is your perspective of this playoff race that's going on right now? I mean, even from the top, you have OKC, Denver, and Minnesota fighting for the top three seeds. And then at the bottom, I mean, here in Sacramento, it's insane. I mean, if you listen to us 2 days ago, we're talking about the sixth seed. Now we're afraid that the Kings might fall into the nine seed. What has been your perspective just on how really this, like, post All-Star break standings watch has gone on a nightly basis on the Western Conference?
It's great. It's so fun. The East, I think for like a year and a half, we thought maybe the East was as good as the West, but water found its level, and no, the East is not as good as the West. Right. I don't know. I mean, I never really bought the Rockets hype, and I really, really, really liked the Steph Curry trolling.
Yesterday the Warriors. Was elite. It was an elite trolling night.
Yeah, that was something else. Well, you, of course, have more insight on this. I would love to see the Kings. I mean, respectfully, Kings, Warriors in the play-in. Rematch of last year is like really exciting. And for a young team like the Celtics, this happened to them in 22. They got punked. The lights were too bright against the Warriors. And when they let go of the rope, they never caught it again. And I don't think the same thing happened to the Kings last year against the Warriors in the playoffs, but there certainly was a experienced deficit there, right? So I'm sure your listeners would prefer they just outright qualify for the playoffs, but it would be such a litmus test to see the Kings go up against the Warriors or even the Lakers. I mean, I think guys see LeBron and they're still shine on that apple. So it's fascinating. Intellectually, other than the Nuggets, you can talk yourself in or out of any of these teams. I feel like the Nuggets are the only like bona fide contender, and everyone else could get hot or could not, you know?
Talking to Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire and host of the Celtics Lab podcast. Cameron, before we let you go, why does it feel like not enough people, and I know he's been banged up a little bit, it feels like somehow the unicorn Porzingis hasn't been talked about that much as far as him just unlocking this offense. I mean, you guys make the move, you get Drew Holiday, and then you get him too, which is unfair to me, but we'll let you do what you do. How awesome has it been to add him to this lineup?
When it clicks, it's unbelievable. I mean, looking back, it makes so much sense. So against a team like the Heat, the Celtics really struggled against their zone. And now Porzingis is just like the conduit to get the ball in the middle, even if it goes back out again. I've likened it almost to like Jackie Moon in semi-pro. Like at least the ball gets inside the three-point line, mm-hmm. and then it can go back out. But between Porzingis and also Tatum and Brown have been better in the post, the Celtics finally have like a second and third look to mix up. And then the inverse is true. Porzingis has not been a tremendous shooter. I think his numbers are a little down, but he has a couple of games where he's hit a few in a row at like the right time, mm-hmm. and then he has the defense thinking about it. And I mean, he's as big as a house. He's so unbelievably tall. When he catches a smaller defender, against the Thunder the other day, they had Giddy guarding him, and it just was never going to work for the Thunder. Porzingis was too tall, so. Yeah, he's a real revelation on offense. Occasionally, Boston still descends into that your turn, my turn, let's do one-on-one, in which case the personnel is a little less relevant. It depends on what the Jays are up to. But when it's humming, it's unbelievable, and Porzingis is a big part of that.
Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire and host of the Celtics Lab podcast. Cameron, thank you so much for joining. I will tell you good luck the rest of the season, just not tonight.
Sure, fair enough. Hey, say hi to Kyle Draper for me.
Will do. Thanks again.
All of Boston says hello, I'm sure.
There you go. Thanks again, Cameron. When we return, continue with the conversation. Bill Simmons thinks the Kings might be in trouble. Also, some more A's talk. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Thanks again to Cameron Tabatabai, writer for the Celtics Wire, host of the Celtics Lab podcast. I mean, I don't know if we've ever had someone hop on from another team and say, you guys have a puncher's chance today. And wasn't kidding. No. And wasn't being cocky or whatever. Just said, maybe.
You got a shot, you know. You guys are playing, so there's a chance things go your direction.
Technically, it's 50-50.
You know what, though? If there's any team that you can say that and it's justified, I mean, of course, like maybe some of those Warrior teams a couple years ago, but like Boston 60-16.
Yeah.
Again, at home this year, 33-3. They have three losses all year at home.
I don't know if I knew it was only three.
Three.
Are you sure it's not like seven?
I'm 100,000% that they are 33-3 at home. I will check those three losses. Maybe there's some miracle where it's, you know, those three losses are against, you know, some teams that they overlooked. But let's see here if I can find. I mean, there's not many losses on the schedule in general, so it shouldn't be too hard to find. Let's see here. Celtics home loss. Their last home loss, for what it's worth, was February 1st. They haven't lost at home since February 1st.
February 1st.
That was to the Los Angeles Lakers by a score of 105-114.
The Kings were the four seed at that time.
They lost to the Clippers the week before, 96-115. Here's the problem. They lost all three of these home games in like a 2-3 week span. And that's it. So they lost to Denver on January 19th by 2 at home. That was their first home loss of the entire season. Mm-hmm. Then they lost a week later on January 27th to the Clippers at home. And then their last home loss was February 1st against the Lakers. So they lost three times at home in about 2 weeks and have not lost at home since. So that's what the Kings are walking into tonight.
So, but it would be so Kings, right?
Of course, right. Of course.
Honestly, it would be so Kings if you still had Malik. But without Malik, it's looking bleak. That's just what it is.
I'm trying to even think, like, what if you're Mike Brown? I mean, you can't. Nomine Patris et Filii
et Spiritus Sancti. And by the way, do you want to tell the people
what's that
on air what you said to me?
Well, now I feel like I have to. I don't know what
when
I said to
Malik
you.
Went down.
Oh, I mean, I think we're clear enough at this point to say it. Yeah, I mean,
because I don't know why you would say this.
It
to
was
me.
Literally immediately after Malik went down. I think I said I leaned over to Alan and I said, "Alan, did we curse Malik? Is this kind of our fault?"
I say no.
Look, we're messing with a higher power.
I say no. Because they did the combo where they played both.
Yeah.
They didn't fully
but
commit.
But he was playing like trash beforehand.
Before.
He was like 11 points. Was like, oh my gosh.
But that was even
Malik's
on the
back.
Road trip. That was when it was still only humdiddly.
Look, I'm just stating facts that it was humdiddly and then we tried to mess with it. And,
that's
you know,
crazy.
I don't know if we want to mess with the higher
power.
They
started powers. Playing.
Scary.
They started
like
playing off night.
That's a good point.
And he's been playing better.
Look, it's one or the other. It's either, yeah, you get new music and...
Wait, and
you're
Trey. Trey's been playing better.
I
ain't gonna lie. Right.
Yeah, that song's been... It was like, I was randomly like singing that like the other day and I was like, where do I know that song? And it was like, oh yeah, Trey went crazy.
But
they're doing it
for Train, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if they've edited that sound yet to like actually say Train.
It doesn't say
like,
Train. It says Train.
Yeah. Like whatever, you know, like...
Yeah.
They actually edited that song, so...
Well, we're just
a little afraid.
We're going to need a little something from everybody if they want to get this W. Let's hear from Bill Simmons, who had some things to say on his podcast, and it kind of went left, and he stopped talking about the Kings. But this is where he was talking about the Kings and their chances moving forward.
Sacramento, I am way more sure about this. Sacramento actually, if you go to the 18 playoff teams, they have to be probably closer to the Chicago-Atlanta level than anybody else. They lost Herter for the year, who wasn't even playing that good, but is at least somebody that they know you can trust a little bit in big games. They lost Malik Monk at least through round one, and this is the one you really feel when you watch them. They're basically Fox and Sabonis and a bunch of guys. There's nobody special on this team other than those two, and if you go through the team that they have now, they're 3-9 guys. Are in the running for worst 3-9 crew out of anybody who's going to be in the playoffs. Post All-Star rating, they're 25th. It looks like they're going to fall to the 9 seed, which would put them against their nemesis, Golden State, the team that they haven't been able to beat for a million years. But it's going to be Golden State, Sacramento.
Yeah, and then Bill, we had to cut it off because Bill then goes on like a legitimate 2-minute soliloquy on how the Warriors, you can't give up on the Warriors and Steph.
I had to cut that audio. He just goes in about how the rules are changing in a positive way for Draymond Green. Yeah. And it's like, what? This is a breakdown of the Kings.
Well, you know, speaking of, we talked about how their least amount of free throws since 1950, and it's been crazy lately. But last night was not that.
No.
Oddly enough, in New York, which
New York
makes you wonder. It does make you wonder. And Mike Brown even spoke about the Kings and selling fouls better because it was a little bit crazy. We try not to do the referee thing, But, I mean, what Bill is alluding to is the fact that they're letting the boys play more. They weren't letting the Kings play last night.
You know how many free throws De'Aaron had last night? One. He had one. He went to the line one time.
That's bad.
That's incredible.
Maybe this is for the other side of the break, but when he said the Kings have the worst 3-9,
yeah,
you know, I saw Allen's reaction, but then he says, in the playoffs, do you guys feel that's true or not true? Because I kind of feel like he's right about that.
I said something last night, and it was pretty similar to that, and just, it wasn't comparing, but it was just, it's hard to ask the Kings to do too much more than they're doing. Now, again, when you're losing leads and blowing leads, it hurts you. It hurts you worse. But this is what I said yesterday, Chris. And I think I said it earlier on the show. One star, one incredibly productive but limited player, a second-year player, an inconsistent veteran, and role players.
Yeah, that's what they got.
That's what they got.
That's what they got at this point.
So
I have a problem because I see a team like the Knicks who that doesn't seem to bother them at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have less star power than the Kings. I'm sure the Knicks would love to have another all-NBA caliber player out there. And that's where I get a little bit frustrated when I do hear, like, you know, oh, the Kings, they're so down on talent and all these. I'm like, you know, that's kind of, you know, I see teams able to float with less. And I just can't imagine, and I don't know if it's just the Kings' aura. I don't know if you want to blame Mike Brown. I don't know if you want to blame De'Aaron Fox. I don't know if you want to blame Domantas Sabonis. But I just think that if one of Sabonis or Fox went down, I can't see the Kings pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and doing what the Knicks are doing right now. I can't see it. I think that if one of Fox or Sabonis were to go down, specifically if Sabonis were to go down, I don't think the Kings would be able to hold themselves up, and I don't know what that means.
What's crazy is I don't know if anybody would consider Julius Randle to be better than De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis.
No.
Or Sabonis. There's no way. Continue the conversation when we get back. Also, A's Talk, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Everybody loves, and when I say loves, I really mean loathes when I have a surprise segment. And I have a surprise fair foul that I need Chris's take on, okay, and I need Nate's take on. It's haven't had one in a while.
We're almost gone.
No, I promise you. How do you feel about the state of California? I'm kidding. Yes. I'm kidding. Okay, this is what it is. So I've talked to you about the gym situation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's a smaller gym. Yep. You can basically see everybody. So we haven't had a gym fair.
We have not. No.
In a while. And I had one today.
Okay.
And I got to get your take on it. And I got to get Nate's take on it.
This morning you had
this morning.
Oh my God.
So this morning I'm in the gym.
Okay.
Right.
Mistake
and shout out
one.
Shout out Dave. I'm in the gym.
Yeah, no, right. Dave is thrilled right now. He's
when
so,
I talk about him
so hyped
being in the gym. So this is what happened. Because it's empty in the morning, because, you know, not a lot of people are grinding, because it's so empty, I'm doing basically a circuit, right? So I'm on the ab machine, and then I'm doing the yep, shoulder press.
Okay.
And then what was the other one I was doing? I was doing something specifically for
okay,
my Achilles, right?
Planet Fitness has like a whole section for that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Planet Fitness isn't right next to me, right?
Okay.
So I'm doing my split squats, okay? So again, it's a small, you can see everybody.
Okay.
You can see everybody. So
you just had to go down the list of everything you were doing.
But it helps.
Dave loved
no,
that.
But it helps. Dave, please listen to this
love
segment.
That.
So I'm doing one. I finish at the shoulder press. Okay.
Shoulder.
And or sorry, I gotta be clear. I finish at the abs, but I was just on shoulder.
Okay.
Somebody had walked in. And okay, again, you can see everybody.
Yes.
So I finish the ab and I go to use the bathroom. He saw me on the shoulder press,
mm-hmm,
okay, and I get it. I'm doing a lot of circuits.
Did you mark your territory?
No, because okay, I'm using three machines, so I get it.
Yeah. Oh,
so because it's six
There's
in the morning.
There. I got you.
So I go to the bathroom, come back. This guy is on the shoulder press, and he's wiping it down, and I'm thinking, all right,
Again, it's empty.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, all right, man. And he's already ticked me off doing something else earlier this week. I'm thinking, all right, man, you could have asked me. Sure. I know you saw me.
Yeah.
I understand I'm using three different machines, but you could have just said, hey, are you done? And I probably would have just said, you know what, just take it. Because
the only reason
I was hoarding is because it was empty and then you came in. So I pick up my phone and I'm kind of ticked. Because again, this guy, he was sitting in my way when I was trying to do something else earlier in the week. I text my wife and I say, you won't believe this.
And 6:30 in the morning.
She's stoked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, cleaning a diaper.
I can't believe
she's cleaning
that.
A diaper. But I'm texting her and I'm facing him on the machine.
Yeah.
So as I don't make eye contact. So I'm texting him on the machine. While he's on the machine and he can see me, but I have not made eye contact with him. So I finish the text and I'm just like, and I shake my head. And I'm like, and I just put the phone down. And I can kind of see out of the peripheral him looking at me.
Yeah.
So I just say, put my phone down, get back on the ab machine. As I'm getting on the ab machine, he picks his stuff up and moves to a different machine. So I'm thinking he thought.
Yeah.
That
or realized.
He realized he probably wasn't done.
Yeah.
And after I saw him do that, I'm not going to go back on the machine. So I just left.
You
made him sit
there. Fair foul, me or him.
I usually absolutely hate the people that use multiple machines at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably done that before in my life, but the morning makes it more okay since it's dead. Was this an older gentleman?
No.
Okay. Just one of those Larry David situations.
Yeah, kind of sounds like
I always find myself in these situations.
Da, 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 da.
I feel like I'm trying to figure out for our friend here where is his fair, like, did he have multiple fair or foul instances? Like, was taking the machine fair in general? I kind of feel like it was because you had the three machines and you left and
I don't know
if your phone was on the machine itself.
Sure.
So maybe
it was not. It was not.
So I think that's fair. And then
I think he's fair.
It just looks funny to me.
It's just funny how.
Because it's the whole gym. And he decides now is the time that I need to do shoulder press.
Sure. Yeah, he also couldn't have warmed up with something. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just going straight into it.
I'm gonna take his side on this.
Okay.
I get locked in on something when I'm there. And I'm in a different mindset. It's like,
you just would have to see him. He's dilly-dallying around. It's just like
he's waiting for you.
I honestly think I'm encouraging him to do certain exercises. He saw me, said, you know what? I haven't worked on my shoulders
in a
while.
That's a bit narcissistic.
I'm just saying, it's just,
he's me and he's like, I'm going to do what he's doing.
It's a whole gym and he's, And
the shoulder press is a pretty unique thing in the gym. It is. The machine, you don't like that I'm going against you.
No,
you're making a face.
No, it's fine.
You're asking me a fair foul and I'm floating on the fence.
Sure. There was nothing on that machine. I just know he saw me on the machine.
Yeah, but you got up and left.
Yeah.
And you're using three machines.
But I would have wiped it down.
He doesn't know that.
Yes,
not everyone's a wiper.
Yes, he does know.
Oh, because
you can look at Allen and you would know he's a wiper.
He's seen me wipe before.
He's seen you wipe before.
Whoa.
It's a pretty intimate gym.
I'm just saying.
Intimate. There's that word again.
I just had to ask the question. Fair or foul. Whose side are you on?
I think everybody's
a little fair.
Yeah.
A little foul, a little fair.
A little foul, a little fair on all fronts.
I mean, it's just a quick, like,
I'm going to say fair because I work with you and I'm going to have to
No. It's just a quick, hey, bro, were you still on this?
So, like, you were really mad. Like, I mean, because
I wasn't
for
mad,
you to
but
do
I was.
The,
ta- and I, but I think clearly
the,
did
dude,
the.
Yeah. The,
poor Kayla.
But I
could have
been on anything. I could have been talking about anything.
Because I would have probably assumed, oh, he could be texting his girl. Who knows? Like, you know, maybe they got in a fight yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I wouldn't have assumed it was about me.
Why are you texting her that? Like, does she. Honestly,
because
God,
I told her about
a little insight into Alan's.
Because I told her about how he annoyed me earlier this week.
So. She's taking
you
the baby
know?
In the
okay,
morning.
We got a couple. I'll tell you what happened earlier this week, quickly.
Yes.
This
we got time. We got
so
time.
You know the two ropes when
yes,
you get after it
ropes.
With the ropes,
yes.
right? So there's a little room where there are bikes,
okay.
and then that's where the ropes are.
Okay.
So it goes bike, 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 and there's a decent amount of space in between
sure.
each bike. So the furthest bike from the door,
yes.
That is where the ropes are, right, behind the bike.
Okay. Is it attached to the bike to kind of anchor it down?
No,
okay,
it's a couple feet back, and then you would pull out and basically be parallel with the bike. So I am, and this one I wouldn't even call foul. But so I have, because there's like medicine balls all around the area. So I'm on the phone, and I'm about to pick up the ropes. He walks in,
texting or call?
No, I'm texting. I'm texting, and I'm right by the ropes. Again, the whole place is open.
Yeah.
He walks in with his mat, drops it between the second and last bike, so I can't do the ropes.
Yeah.
So I can't, and I said, fine. How is he supposed to know?
That's a lot more foul to me.
Fine. How was I supposed to know?
Sure.
You know, if he's going to do that. So I gave him a pass, but then on this one, on top of it, come on, dude.
Nah, he's a repeat offender at that point.
Come on, dude.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah, that is like
209.
That's
a little
personal.
He can ask if you're done.
That's
how
two.
Can he ask if you're done if you went to the bathroom? I came back and I left all my stuff at the ab machine.
Yeah. Also, like, it is just kind of common courtesy just to double check. Hey, man, you look like you're done. Just wanted to make sure before I hop on, you're good. Yeah.
It's just a double check.
It's so good. It's so easy.
From the 831 wipe away, boys. I just you could have just asked.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm using three machines. You know, I get it. So Nate's foul. Chris is foul. The text line's foul.
Yeah.
Chris Verlade says foul on me. Fine. I'll wear it. I shouldn't have texted my wife.
It's
because I was ticked.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I think you stepped over the line with the grunt. I think
she's got bigger things to worry about. You guys have a child at home.
You know how I look.
Oh yeah, no. I'm honestly shocked you didn't look at him when you did it.
I purposely didn't. Like, and the message got across, though.
Definitely.
And he got up, too.
Yeah. Passive-aggressive Allen.
He got up, too.
This guy is clearly not very buff, because I feel like if he were some unit, I feel like...
What are you trying to say? Yeah.
I just think that
you're saying I wouldn't have done the...
Yeah, I think so.
You're saying... What
if
I did not say the H word. I did not bring the H word into this.
510, this is why Allen doesn't deserve nice things. Come on, man.
Okay. That's a bit aggressive.
Come on, from top tier 10, sweaty back from carrying 1140. Thank you, Tim. That's right.
Dave's not going to like that.
Dave is not going to like
that. Cut that one for
segment.
Dave. Cut that one for Dave. All right, I'll take foul on that one.
Yeah.
When we return, prop talk. By the way, we had a good prop talk last game. How did we do last night? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
What a show. What a week it has been. I want to thank everyone on behalf of Watkins and Styles and Simone and Nate. Thank you for a great, great week. It has been a lot of emotions, but we appreciate each and every caller. Really kind of a monumental day for our very young show, only 5 months in. It feels like more than that, and I think we've made a nice footprint so far, but we're still grinding, we're still climbing, and it's all thanks to all of you. With that being said, going to open up the phone lines, 916-339-1140. Shout-outs and closeouts right after prop talk and dog segment. Shout-out your daughter, shout out your son, shout out your nephew, your significant other, if they got a big softball tournament, volleyball game, intramural, like Chris, the intramural volleyball king, apparently, a bowling tournament. I got a buddy who's got a big bowling tournament.
Ooh, we should get you in a bowling league.
Oh, I will get. Yeah. It's actually kind of tough to find bowling out here in Sacramento.
I'll show you the right direction.
Thank you. Thank you. Shout out to somebody who made you a good smoothie at one of the smoothie spots, or a latte, anything. That's coming up right after dog segment and prop talk. You can shout it out, 916-339-1140, on the call line, on the text line, or on Sack Chat. Speaking of, all guests and callers, join us from Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And shout out to the winners that will be joining us on Monday. We go in VIP.
The VIP?
We get in bottle service. What are we doing?
I don't know about that.
Probably not.
I definitely
not.
Don't think
probably
about
not.
That. Maybe water bottle.
And the
service.
Guy from the gym is coming. I think
I don't
oh,
think
no.
So.
No, he is going to show
up. Do you think he knows
who
you are?
And he's going to take my seat. He's going to try to take my seat at the sports
I'm
bar.
I'm just not going to say anything.
There you go. There you go. Join us, Fieldhouse American Sports Pub. And we are going to be there enjoying ourselves. 5 to 7, we just got the times. 5 to 7, we will be there. Maybe we'll be there earlier. Who knows?
Probably.
You
I'll definitely
show
be
up
there later.
To find
I'll
out, Nate
that.
Will be there, and he will be enjoying himself as well. All right, Prop Talk. Chris, how did we do yesterday?
Yesterday, I don't think we did great. You know what? You had De'Aaron Fox over 6 assists. He did get over 6 assists.
Let's go.
The Kings did not win the game, which was the spirit of it. Nate had Davion Mitchell over 6.5.
Locked.
That hit very easily. I actually had Trey Lyles, who had 7.5, and Trey ended with 10. So
wait,
we went 3-0.
We swept? Wait.
Again?
Wait, what's our record? Are we still keeping track of our record?
No, but,
we're
but
like,
we have been.
We're like yeah. 17-4.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. We're hot.
We are hot.
So get on the train.
Too bad we have not profited at all from that.
Whenever it happens, I go home
and I think,
no way all three are going to hit. And I do one, and then I lose on other stuff.
It's just
That's typically
ridiculous.
What happens. But not tonight.
Not tonight.
But
not
because
tonight.
I don't want to mess up our record.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Our record.
It'd be selfish of you.
Exactly. Our record.
Like using multiple machines at the gym.
Okay.
Right.
See, so I know Nate's on the other side, but that's okay. All right, Chris, you ready? You got something?
Yes, I do. I was looking at the numbers here. Some jump out more than others. Tonight is one of those nights that we hate, though, because, you know, frankly, I mean, the reality of the situation is if the Kings get blown out tonight, it's going to be really hard for some of those unders or some of those overs to hit. So I'm kind of looking more so towards unders tonight.
Come on.
But
what are we doing?
If I had – all right, fine. I won't. I'll go with De'Aaron Fox over 2.5 made threes.
I thought you were going to say 26.
No.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the only way overs hit today is if they don't get blown out. So if you say under, you essentially think that they're going to get blown out.
My issue with the board today, there's a ton of zeros I'm seeing. So instead of half points, they're doing full points. So that leads to pushes.
It's
and I hate that. But I'll give mine. Mine is one of those zeros, and it's basically a repeat of what yesterday was because I feel like it's too easy. Davion Mitchell, 7 points over. Like,
yeah,
he's, if
right.
it's a blowout, he's still playing.
He's playing
no matter what. So that
lock it, Nate.
I think
lock
that,
it.
That one's locked in so hard.
You said
right now.
Seven flat
over.
Okay,
I'm gonna do it, guys.
Not okay.
You can't
do
literally
Kevin.
Can't
do.
You know
Nate,
what?
Nate reflexively no. said, "Not Kevin."
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't, because you do
give
this every
second.
Time.
Give me a second. Hold on.
Uh oh.
I literally don't know what's
tie.
Happening.
He's grabbing
right
his suit and tie.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, his best friend. He found him.
Oh,
he found him.
We're going to find him tonight.
He found him.
Harrison Barnes. We're going to find him tonight. Please. 10.5 points. Lock it in.
The
and
word
lock
is
it out.
Out.
The word is out. We will find him tonight. He's not always there when you need him.
Taylor's in
Boston.
But he's
always there when you call.
Suit Taylor's in Boston are on the lookout.
They are on the lookout. This man will show up tonight. 10.5. No sweat. Easy cheese. Thank you.
Okay. For sure. I thought you were trying to not be selfish.
You're tripping, dude.
You're really trying to bring
What's
our record
problem?
Down. That's crazy.
That's not going to mess up the record.
Why not take the 11.5 points and assists?
You Whatever. Took a guy who is literally missing.
And yeah, they can't find him.
They cannot find
we
him.
We have to get
him.
Drapes Boston guys to help us out.
Law
and
Order.
Again,
shout out Law and Order.
HB has had single digits in 5 of his last 7 games.
Ouch.
Law and Order. Let's see. Last game. We last scene.
He's trying to,
it was like
he's
last
trying,
game.
He's trying to
zero
verify.
Points.
0 points.
Game before that.
Two.
6 points.
6 points. His last 5 games, he's gone 7, 20, 24, 6, and 0. So,
dang.
Sounds like to me, guys,
two
he's
zeros.
Due. He's due. We found this man. We found this man.
And in the last 7 games, he's had 2 donuts.
In the last seven games, no. He has only had one donut, okay. But he's had single digits in 5 of 7.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oof. Thanks, Alan. Alan will not be our lock of today.
Unfortunately, okay. I don't work on Monday, but I will be talking to you guys at Fieldhouse about this one.
That's right.
Okay. We will be talking about it, and I might get an HB jersey.
Bring that.
This hit.
Bring that thing.
I'm just going to bring this. Please. I'm gonna bring it.
We don't need to lose another one of those.
No, I'm gonna bring it to Fieldhouse. Yeah,
half of them are gone.
I don't know what happened to Malik.
I'll return it. All right, let's get it. Dog segment.
Okay.
Arf, arf. Who let the dogs out? Wow. I didn't know we were vibing like this today. Wow. Not feeling very doggy today.
That's why I played
this.
Now.
Yeah, first of all, you're trying to take an under, and we got this good music playing. You're actually starting to bug me now. It's because of our Boston guy that we had on.
That's
because
right.
of Cameron.
Yeah.
Because of Cameron,
Cameron has
Chris Shook.
The punch
of
choice thing kind of had me like. Dang,
I don't
like
get,
that,
I don't get
bro.
Shook,
like,
Nate.
He's right.
He said he called us a puncher's chance, man.
Come on.
I can't get it out of my head.
I'm going with Keegan Murray.
Okay.
Keegan Murray tonight.
Okay. One of the Good Bill luck. Simmons 3-9 most worthless players.
That's actually, Jason Tatum. Would he be number 4?
I guess he would be. I was thinking about that. I would assume he's probably 3. In a day where I'm searching for a dog, I'm just going to go with, I'm not going to go with Sabonis, who might be the most likely candidate. I'm actually going to double dip with Nate and Ayo. I'm going to say Davion Mitchell for my dog of the game today.
Okay.
Feels a little foolproof there.
Davion Mitchell. We have Keegan Murray as well.
Maybe a lot of
well.
Peyton Pritchard.
Nate's taking a call. Nate, who's your dog?
Well, I'm not taking Davion again.
Okay.
It's got to be one of the three. I'll just take Sabonis, huh?
Why not?
Is that fine? Is that okay?
I mean,
can I
it's
just take
as
Sabonis?
Good of a bet as anything at this point.
We had that caller earlier that said everyone's soft except Sabonis.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah.
Are we going to do, you know what, Leah, let's do shout-outs and closeouts today.
We have them
real quick.
Right here from the 707. Okay, Christopher Lott. From the 707, shout-out to the Vacaville Angry Chicks, which just opened today.
Really?
And ooh. See y'all Monday. That's from the 707.
Hey.
Who's going to be in the building.
That's a weird shout-out, is it not?
I would love to try Angry
things.
Chicks.
Okay,
Curtis Hicks has
good.
Off night as his dog. John Williams, Keegan for 25.
Amid Rock, shout out to the Stockton Kings.
Yes, shout out to the Stockton Kings. And it looked lit in there. It looked lit in there real quick. Like we said, all things considered, we don't do politics on this show. We do sports, and sometimes they collide. I'm giving a shout out to Oakland. I used to live there, man. I got friends out there, but I'm still excited for the city of Sacramento. And the A's giving everybody in Sacramento an opportunity to see some good baseball.
I'm good. I'm all.
You don't have a shout out?
I have a shout out for Monday, but
shout out for Monday.
Yeah, you know?
Shout out my early gym grinders.
Okay. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, Styles and Watkins. Until Monday, secure the bag, light the Celtics, and Jim Beam.